This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Over the weekend, a new poll in the governor's race showed that Democrat incumbent Deval Patrick and Republican Charlie Baker are locked in a statistical tie in the race to November. Patrick is polling at 35%, Baker at 34%. And when you factor in the poll's margin of error, that means they're in a dead heat. In other political news, former President Bill Clinton hits the campaign trail for Massachusetts Democrats, and many Massachusetts voters favor slashing the state sales tax by more than half. Joining us now in the studio for our Monday political roundtable is our team of analysts. On the Democratic side, we've got former State Representative Susan Tracy. Susan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
And on the Republican side, we welcome Eric Dahlberg to Radio Boston. He's fresh off the campaign trail and, we hope, fully recovered from his defeat in the Republican primary for state Senate in the Middlesex District. He's also a Chelmsford selectman. Eric Dahlberg, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
And listeners, we are taking calls during this segment. We want to know whether you now consider this a two-person race for the governor's seat. We also want to know if you would support rolling back the sales tax, even though that would put a giant hole in the state budget. We also wonder if you think Barney Frank could actually lose his seat in this upcoming election. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So, Susan and Eric, before you came in, we had Bill Keating in the studio. He, of course, is the 10th District Democratic congressional candidate. A few weeks ago, we had Keating's Republican opponent, Jeff Perry, on the show. I first want you to assess this congressional race, because this is a tight one, and Perry, despite a personal record, as Keating calls it, that's a little spotty, won pretty well in the primary. Susan, how about you first? Where are you thinking this race stands between Keating and Perry right now?
Well, first of all, the primary vote and the general election vote are dramatically different. Many more people are going to come out in November, and winning in a Republican primary with a small base of very whipped up, excited Tea Party type voters is very different than a general election. In some ways, I think the fact that the Tea Party is playing such a significant role in the primary probably hurts the Republican Party. We're certainly seeing that in Delaware with Christine O'Donnell. I'm not suggesting that Perry is of the same ilk as Christine O'Donnell, but I do think the sort of far-right candidates that the Republican Party has elected makes it difficult for them in November.
And Eric Dahlberg, how are you sizing up the Perry-Keating race?
The Tea Party does complicate things a bit, but let's remember that Jeff Perry's already an elected official. He's been a state rep from a portion of that district for years, and having worked with Jeff professionally, I can say he's not... He's a tough campaigner, and he's been a phenomenal state rep. So he's an opponent to be taken seriously by Mr. Keating.
In what capacity did you work with him professionally?
I served as a legislative liaison in a state agency and worked with his and other legislators' offices for a number of years. And he was really tough on constituent services, calling on behalf of his constituents and getting answers and information.
So you think he'll give Keating a run for his money?
Absolutely.
The National Republican Congressional Committee has named Jeff Perry one of its so-called young guns. What that basically translates into is that the group thinks he's electable, and they'll be dumping a lot of money into this race, including for ads against Keating. Eric, I'm wondering if you think that money flowing in could actually cut into Keating's support.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, money is the mother's milk of politics, as they say, and if Jeff is able to raise significantly more funds, that'll clearly have an impact.
Susan, do you think that Keating needs to be concerned about this?
I think the Republican Party is in a tough position. I know we're going to talk about some of the other races down the road. You know, are they going to throw everything they have into this race and try to pick up one of the 39 seats that they need to try to switch power in the House of Representatives? If they do, it's at the cost of all of the other Republicans running for office. So it'll be interesting to see whether they just zero in and decide to throw all their marbles into this race and try to take it, or whether they spread their resources out in a way that, quite frankly, might mean they'd take nothing.
When Keating was just in the studio, he spent a lot of time hammering away at the Perry strip search situation. And then, of course, we heard a caller say, that's the wrong thing to focus on in this campaign. We want to hear about constituent services. Eric, do you think that this is true, that that's the wrong road to go down?
You know, as Susan said, the primary results are limited in how you can apply them to the district as a whole, but they didn't seem to really factor into the primary. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And again, Jeff has won numerous elections with this information in the public domain already. So it doesn't appear to have resonated with voters previously.
Let's move on to the governor's race, because as I said in the intro, the Globe over the weekend released a new poll showing that Deval Patrick and Charlie Baker are statistically tied, about 34-35% each. Susan Tracy, why do you think that Charlie Baker seems to be closing this gap?
Well, they're certainly spending a lot of money. As we know, the Republican Governors Association has tried very hard to take Tim Cahill out of the equation. There's been a lot of negative ads that have been put up. And quite frankly, it's September, and this is the time when people start to focus on the race. So I think historically, races become tighter at this time. Long way to go till November 2nd, but historically, races become tighter. And again, statistically, all within the margin of error.
And Eric Dahlberg, do you think that Baker's momentum, should the credit go to Baker doing something right or Governor Patrick doing something wrong?
I think Charlie Baker is doing all the right things. I mean, if you look at the polls, chronologically, he's been closing the gap steadily since the spring. We're seeing a classic tightening of the race. You know, the independent candidate is dropping off, and the two contenders are closing the gap.
We have calls coming in. Let me bring one of these in who wants to raise a Baker issue that I think Eric Dahlberg will let you take. And this is Alice from Scituate. Hi, Alice. What's your thought about the governor's race?
Hello. I have been hearing him talk about getting rid of 5,000 state jobs at state employees. We have 351 towns, and if we divide that into 5,000, that's at least 14 people not having a job anymore from Massachusetts because they've been fired or let go or whatever in the world he's talking about, improving the state budget by letting them all go. Where is the thought in that? Who in the world are the 5,000 people? That's 5,000 families.
Eric Dahlberg, do you want to address that?
Well, I mean, I think he's looking at the long-term budget. I mean, we have to tighten up on the expenditure side. You know, the state budget, the state payroll has continued to grow even in the midst of this economic downturn. So I think it's a solid proposal. Those folks, you know, those are folks who would have the opportunity to go back to work in the private sector. It's not like they'd be, you know, without any options whatsoever.
Let me jump over to a different poll because we have some callers that want to raise the issue of question three. This is the question that would cut the state sales tax from about 6.25% to 3%, so cut it in more than half. According to this poll, 46% of the people polled said yes, they would cut the tax rate. That's pretty striking, you know, considering that supposedly if this is cut, it will result in about a $2.5 billion hole in the state budget. Again, billion with a B. All three of the leading candidates for governor, Patrick, Baker, and Cahill, oppose this. So let me first just bring in a caller, and we'll see what this person says, and you guys, and then you can weigh in. This is Mike from the Back Bay. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So what are your thoughts about the tax rollback?
You know, it occurs to me that everybody doesn't want to pay any money for anything, and I'm of the same mindset, but at the same time, we have to consider, if we don't pay, what do we get for not paying? So I think that we need to, as much as we can, participate and pay for the services that we do get.
So Susan Tracy, even though Mike from the Back Bay says he doesn't think we can do it, about half the people polled seem to think we can.
You know, I think this is probably the only bipartisan supported effort happening probably in the nation this year. You know, everyone agrees that's a draconian cut. It's $2 billion on top of $2 billion that we're not going to get. I think the one sort of ray of hope as you look forward, and I'd see it as a ray of hope, so I'm expressing my opinion here, is that the campaign on this issue hasn't really begun yet. And there are some very powerful and very influential business leaders, you know, union leaders across the board. Again, it's the only bipartisan thing happening, who are going to step up to the plate over the next few weeks. And I think try to have the public understand we get the frustration that people have, but let's not cut our nose to spite our face on this one.
Listeners, we're talking, we have our political team with us to talk about this fall's campaign. We're talking about a number of issues, including in the next few minutes, we'll talk about Barney Frank's race. He had Bill Clinton in campaigning for him over the weekend. We'll be talking about Tim Cahill, who's lagging behind in the polls. Give us a call to give us your sense of whether Barney Frank could lose, whether Tim Cahill, is it really down to a two-person race? We want to hear what you think. We're at 1-800-423-8255. It's 1-800-423-TALK. Eric Dahlberg, I just mentioned the Barney Frank race. And in a different poll, the Globe has done a variety of polls lately. More than half the people surveyed say they think the incumbents in Massachusetts and Washington just need to go. There needs to be a fresh crop of politicians. That's probably not likely to happen in most of the Massachusetts House races, but one House district, this is Barney Frank's, who has had his seat for 29 years. People are looking at that because there is a challenger. Bill Clinton did come in town this weekend to campaign for Barney Frank. Some people thought that was a sign of weakness. And this is what Bill Clinton had to say when he joined Frank on the campaign trail in Taunton.
We have got to restore the American dream. Nobody, but nobody in the House has done more to help build back the American dream than Barney Frank. You ought to be there for him on Election Day.
Meanwhile, here's what Frank's Republican opponent Sean Bilott had to say.
You can't listen to the fact that he just invited Bill Clinton in to campaign for him and not think that there's some connection to the fact that he finally has a competitive election coming up.
Eric Dahlberg, is this race actually competitive?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think every race and, you know, every mainstream, every race in which there are two mainstream candidates running is competitive this year. I've met Sean. He's a tough campaigner. He's got an impressive background. He's very articulate. He just won a decisive victory in a primary down in that district. And I think he's going to give Bonnie Frank a run for his money. I mean, he's portrayed Bonnie Frank as the poster child for the, you know, that out of touch Washington incumbency. And it appears to be resonating with the voters.
Eric Dahlberg, you say that Bilott has an impressive record. On the other hand, he's a 35-year-old businessman with no political experience. He's taking on a long-term congressman with hardcore clout in Washington. You really believe that Barney Frank needs to campaign hard this fall?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Sean obviously doesn't have as much elected experience as Congressman Frank, but he's a U.S. Marine. Yeah, I believe he started his own business. He's got experience in the corporate world and in the public sector. I believe he's got an advanced degree from Harvard, so he's no slouch.
Susan Tracy, do you think voters are so upset that they could throw Barney Frank out of office?
Well, I think I'd note a couple of things. Sean Bilott stood outside with 200 people, and the Republican Party has decided to put its resources into the Perry race. There's a statement from the Republican Party about what they think of Bilott if they won't come in to campaign for him. And he can be critical of Barney Frank for doing what you should do, which is work hard on reelection. But I don't see anybody coming to town to help Sean Bilott out. And again, I think those are indicators of what his own party thinks about his potential.
Back in the governor's race, Tim Cahill, the independent candidate, has had a tough couple of days. This new poll the Globe did over the weekend has him lagging at around 11% compared to the mid-30s, which is where Baker and Patrick are. And then last Thursday and then Friday, two of his top aides quit. So, and one of his aides explicitly said he left because he just doesn't think Cahill can win. But Cahill says he's staying in the race. Susan Tracy, is this just a matter of time when Cahill says it's time for me to drop out?
Absolutely not. Cahill's got a lot of money on hand. He's got a year, that I think Eric would agree that anyone who, you know, who's different could win. He's certainly very different in that race. I just don't see him, with 5 weeks to go deciding he's going to drop out of this race. That's just not going to happen.
But Eric, it's Cahill's 11% to Charlie Baker and Patrick's 34 and 35. You think he'll stick with it?
I think, he appears to be willing to go all the way. I mean, clearly, what he's saying is not resonating with the voters. We're seeing a classic tightening of the race. He's dropping off in the polls. At the end of the day, the voters don't like to waste their vote. And that's what they'd be doing if they voted for Tim Cahill. He's not going to win. This is a two-man race.
Let me bring in a caller from Jamaica Plain. This is Yvette, and she wants to bring up again something that you, Eric, addressed to another caller who brought up the Charlie Baker job cut issue. Hi, Yvette.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I don't understand why that was an ad that was supposed to bring the masses to Charlie Baker. He's promising on cutting 5,000 jobs in a down economy, and one of the panelists responded they can get jobs in the private sector. Where are those jobs? That's my comment. I'll take what you have to say off the air. Thanks.
Eric Dahlberg.
Well, I mean, he's going to be cutting state jobs. That would be cutting state spending. That's money that would be injected back into the private sector where businesses could expand and create jobs much more efficiently than the government ever could. I mean, that's where the jobs would be created, of course.
We have another caller. This is Kyle from Taunton who wants to talk about the question three, the proposed tax rollback. Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
So would you vote for this? A tax rollback?
I think I may actually vote for it. Reason being is I would like to maybe put the government under the gun and force them to make some budget cuts to get rid of jobs that aren't necessary. I think the mass transit authority should be looked at. I think all toll booth operators could be replaced by machines, which would save the state a lot of money. And like I said, the unnecessary jobs, like I know I have written a paper that Deval Patrick has created and tried to create.
Let me go to another caller who has a similar sentiment. This is Christina from Westminster. Hi, Christina. Would you vote to roll back the state sales tax?
Yes. I agree with Kyle. I think there's a lot of efficiencies and there's a lot of mismanagement out there. So 10 years ago, I would never have even considered doing something like that. But I have no doubt that if we do this, if the voters vote for this, and if they decide to implement it, which is a whole other thing, it'll just get rolled back down, you know, it rolls downhill to the towns. But when I hear, you know, my town saying things like, well, maybe there are ways we can, you know, get some economies of scale with other towns. Maybe we need to share services. Maybe we need to do this or that. I know that necessity is the mother of invention, and these things will never happen unless they have to happen, unless we give, you know, our leaders the reason to make them happen.
Christina, thanks for that. Eric Dahlberg and Susan Tracy, as you said, Susan, all the leading candidates oppose this measure. It's maybe the only bipartisan issue in the race, but we've just heard from a series of callers who say, yes, it might put a $2.5 billion hole in the budget, but you know what? The state will magically find money that it can get rid of that it says it can't get rid of now.
You know, I think everybody gets people's frustration, and I, you know, obviously, you know, kind of behind the curtain or, you know, at the booth, coloring in the circles is a good way to, you know, tuck it to your legislator or tuck it to your government and say, hey, you know, listen up and hear us. So I get it. I just think that this one is going to go too far, and it's a be careful what you wish for moment, because when those schools start losing teachers and classroom size, you know, size starts to explode and, you know, roads aren't repaired and streetlights aren't fixed, I think it would be a pretty sad day for our Commonwealth.
Eric, do you want to quickly weigh in on that?
I would agree with Susan on that. I mean, I'm all for getting taxes as low as they can go. I think all reasonable people are. My concern is that there's no real plan to achieve these savings on the expenditure side of the budget. It's just, we'll find waste when the time comes.
Well, I should also note it's not binding, right? So I wonder if the two of you think, would any of the candidates actually implement this if the voters say they want it to happen?
I think all of them have said that they would, you know, support at least the spirit of the voters' will. You know, the actual implementation might be a little different.
Before we go, I have a piece of tape I want to share that I hope you can quickly comment on, and here it is.
I'm a free market guy. Normally, I would leave this to the invisible hand of the market, but the invisible hand of the market has already moved over 84,000 acres of production and over 22,000 farm jobs to Mexico and shut down over 1 million acres of U.S. farmland due to lack of available labor. Because apparently, even the invisible hand doesn't want to pick beans.
That was Stephen Colbert testifying in front of the House Immigration Subcommittee on Friday. And he wasn't just making jokes. You know, he was also arguing that visas should be granted to undocumented workers to protect them from exploitation in jobs that legal residents don't want anyway. Eric Dahlberg, quickly, do you take Colbert's testimony seriously?
Absolutely not. He should stay on Comedy Central.
And Susan?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it worked at all.
Susan Tracy is a former state representative, and Eric Dahlberg is a former candidate for state senate who's also a Chelmsford selection. They were our political panel this week. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks.
Up next, an 11-year-old explores Boston with the help of his new friend, a seeing-eye dog. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.